I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Romans 16. Of all the fine arts, people, the finest art is life. Learning to live and living life dynamically within the framework of God's Word makes life scintillating, exciting, and vivaciously enrapturing. More exhilarating than the rarest flower of June, or the thousands of spider webs spreading across a meadow in an autumn morning, sprinkled with millions of diamonds of dew. There is neither sunrise nor sunset, nor any gorgeous night when the star-studded heavens glisten in the vast canopy of blue that is nearly as beautiful as a man or woman for whom the living of life has become an art. A college graduate, after having received her baccalaureate degree, remarked to me, "Perhaps I have as fine an education from one of our great universities as money can make available. But all my educational achievement and successes were primarily designed to teach me how to make a better living. But you, sir, in a class called Power for Abundant Living, taught me how, capital H, capital O, capital W, to live. This is the year of the renewed mind, the key to power. And I think we all know that we are who we are because of our believing. We are, at this particular time in our life, where we are because of our believing. We are what we are today because of our believing. And we will be tomorrow only as far as our believing takes us. No one in life ever rises beyond what they believe. You can believe, you can operate less than what you believe, but you can't operate more, sir. That's why no one ever rises beyond what they believe. And no one can believe any more than what they're taught. The reason I believe at this time what I believe is because of what I've been taught. No one can believe any more than what they're taught. Less, yes, we can walk by, but not more. Someone once said that small minds discuss people. Average minds discuss current events. Great minds discuss the Word of God. That's why we go to Romans. Why? Because we, too, in our ministry, have reached the point of no return. We either live or die. We either succeed or fail. We either have a victory and live in victory or in defeat. We either conquer or get conquered. Because in our art of living life, we have arrived at the point of no return. William the Conqueror once said, "Men, you must win. I have burned the ships." There's only one way to go, people. That's forward. The Christian believer has no armor on his back. we in the way ministry have reached the point of no return. Our bridges are burned. All escape routes have been cut off. We walk forward. We move forward, building new roads, new bridges, new highways for those who desire to travel. Not on the detours of life. Not on the back roads or the mud roads of life, but on the highway marked Glory Road. I've written an adaptation to William Allen Drumgold's The Bridge Builders as follows. An aged man in the sunset years of life was traveling alone highway. And he came at eventide, which was cold and gray, to a chasm vast, deep, and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The aged man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a young man near, "you're wasting strength by building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you the bridge at eventide?" The builder lifted his graying head. "Young man, in the path I've come," he said, "there followeth after me some day a youth whose feet must also pass this way, this chasm that has been crossed by me. To that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Young man, I'm building the bridge for you and him." Romans 16. The point of no return, verse 3. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Priscilla and Aquila, man and wife. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, the Romans said, "You greet Priscilla and Aquila, who were my what? Helpers. Worked with him. And they were in Christ Jesus. Christ in them was salvation. Their walk was their being in whom? Christ. That's their walk. Look at verse 4. "Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their," Aquila and Priscilla's what? House. Who are these people, Aquila and Priscilla, who laid down their necks, for whom Paul gave thanks? Who are these people that have a church in their house, not in a cathedral, not in anything like that, but the church in the home, in their house? Who is this Aquila and who is this Priscilla? In 1 Corinthians 16, in verse 19 we read, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and" what? "Priscilla salute you much" in what? "With the church that is in their house." Aquila and Priscilla had reached the point of no return. They were carrying out the word of God and the ministry of God, and they were meeting in their house, and they had a church in the house. The family, the home, has always been the central point of contact between God and His believers. The church in the home, the church in the house. Who was this Aquila and who was this Priscilla? In Acts chapter 18, we have the record of these two. Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, that's in Greece. Remember, that's where we're going on the biblical research and teaching tour. Paul came from Athens. He came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, who had been born in Pontus. He had lately come from Rome, Italy, or in that area, with his wife Priscilla. Reason being that Claudius had commanded that all Jews depart from Rome. It was an official order given by the emperor that no Jew was allowed to stay in Rome. And they came unto them at Corinth. Verse 3. And because he, Paul, was of the same craft, he abode with them. He stayed with them. And he worked. He worked. I think one of the greatest things in our ministry today, at all the different locations where we teach, our men and women come in to teach right off of the field. They've been working on the field. They come in to teach and then they go back to work. This idea of generally having a faculty at all the colleges and all the seminary places where they just sit, get you out of touch with life. The early church met in the home. And Paul worked, for by their occupation, the King James says tent makers, that's not accurate. They were saddle makers. Women make tents, men make saddles. Paul was a saddle maker. And he reasoned in Corinth. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia to Corinth, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Paul was pressed. Meaning, Paul was inspired inside. He had a burning desire. And he testified to the Jews that Jesus was God. That he was what? The Christ, the Messiah to Israel. But, verse 6, when they opposed themselves and blasphemed the truth that the man of God was teaching, he, Paul, shook his raiment, which means he shook the dust off of his feet. And he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence, and entering into a certain man's house named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was joined hard near, right next door to the synagogue. That class is dangerous territory. And Crispus, verse 8, the chief ruler of the synagogue, look at that, believed on the Lord with all his what? What do you think happened to the chief ruler of the synagogue when he changed like that? Perhaps a little persecution, perhaps a little talk. The man had reached the point of no return. He had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So he believed, the ruler believed, with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed. And they were baptized, not with water, but with Christ in them, the hope of glory. And then one night in verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace." Paul was being threatened. His life was being threatened. His ministry that God had given him was being threatened. And the Lord said to him, "Be not afraid, but speak. Speak the word, and do not hold thy peace." In other words, don't stay quiet. Just because people are yelling at you, just because they're shouting at you, don't shut up. Just keep talking the word. For the word of God is to be preached in season and what? Tremendous record. The Lord said to Paul in a night, in a vision, "Do not be afraid." First thing, have no fear. The one defeating element in every life is fear. The fear itself is worse than the results could ever be. Do not be afraid, but speak. Talk the word. Share the word. Do not refrain. Keep quiet. Why? Verse 10. For I am what? With thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this what? City. That's how I feel about my wows. That's how I feel about my core. That's how I feel about you, wherever you are. God has people there, or you would not be there. And when you reach the point of no return, you're sold out, then you speak the word. As long as you got an ace up your sleeve, you have not reached the point of no return. But when your bridges are burned, when everything is cut off except God and his word, then you're committed. He said, "I have much people in that what? City." Continued there a year and 6 months. Teaching the word of God among them. Where among them? From house to what? Because the church was in the what? Aquila and Priscilla had come in. Tremendous thing here. Look at verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a great while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and what? Aquila. Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, it was an Oriental custom, he came to Ephesus, where the believers were first followers of the way, the believers were first called Christians. And he left them, Priscilla and Aquila, there. But he himself entered in the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, prepared to leave, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will." And he sailed from what? Ephesus. And in verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent, a learned man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Paul has left where? Ephesus. But Aquila and Priscilla are still there. This great orator, and he was literally a golden-tongued orator, a highly educated man, born in Alexandria, Egypt, which had the great Alexandrian University from which he graduated. He was mighty in the scriptures, which means he knew a lot of the Word of God, chapter and verse. He could handle it. He came to Ephesus. Paul is gone. This man was instructed. The word instructed is zealous. Means boiling. Like the word boiling water is called zealous. When you're that hot, you're zealous. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being, fervent is boiling. Instructed, smart. Fervent in the Spirit, boiling in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently. The word diligently is accurately. The things concerning the Jesus is the text. This word instructed, I better give it to you as accurately as it is. Catechized is the word. This man was instructed, catechized in the way of the Lord. And he was zealous, fervent, boiling spiritually. He was a dynamic orator, a dynamic teacher. And he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning the Jesus, knowing only the baptism of what? And that's about as far as any group in our day and time has gone. Verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. Tremendous truth here. While this great Apollos was speaking in the synagogue, the things concerning Jesus, they didn't interrupt him. They didn't say, Apollos, you shouldn't be doing that. You're off a little bit. They allowed him to speak. They didn't interrupt him. They didn't shame him. They didn't make him feel badly. They took him after it was all over with. And they expounded unto him the way of God more what? They took him home with them after the meeting in the synagogue. Perhaps they had chicken. And then they talked to him. Aquila and Priscilla, lay people, but twig leaders, having the church in their what? And when Paul was writing back, he said, please remember these people. They sacrificed their what for me? Their neck. These people had reached the point of no return. They were sold out. They were committed. Their bridges had been burned in Rome, whether they liked it or not. There was no point of going back. There was nothing to go back to. Ask yourself the question. Do you want to go back to the life a year ago, 5 years ago, 10, 20 years ago? Do you want to go back to throwing your mother down the steps because she won't get high with you? You want to go back on all those drunken sprees, lying sprees? God forbid. For he has saved our life. He has brought us unto this day and time and hour that we might be men and women who have reached that point where there is no return. We do not deny him. We do not walk away from God's word. Having done all, we just what? Stand. Aquila and Priscilla heard him. That is Apollos. Paulus was a PhD boy. High education, Alexandria, Egypt, great university. Aquila and Priscilla were only saddle makers. They had not graduated from the Imperial College in Rome. They were saddle makers, a husband and wife. What a beautiful pair. For they had learned the art of living. And the art of living is to put God first, to put on the mind of Christ. Make the commitment to the integrity and accuracy of His Word. Do not sell out. Do not fluctuate. Do not give on principle. Just having done all, do what? So Aquila and Priscilla, the two little humble lay people, but they had a twig in their home. Took the golden-tongued orator Apollos home with them. And they instructed him. They expounded, declared, unfolded unto him the Word of God more what? Because he only knew the baptism of John. Was he sincere? That's right. Was he trying to be honest? But you can't go beyond what you're taught. We are where we are because of what we've been taught. We'll be tomorrow where our believing takes us because of what we've been taught. You cannot teach any more than what you know. You can teach less, sir, but not more. Apollos, the golden-tongued orator, could not get beyond water baptism because he had never been what? So Aquila and Priscilla took him home. And they instructed him, they expounded, they declared, they unfolded to him. What a wonderful man this Apollos must have been. Because most of us educated men are just fools. We don't listen to lay people. You know, after all, I got my PhD for this. Apollos had his. But look at the greatness of that man. You see, it's like Thomas in the Bible. There is no criticism of Thomas because he was a doubter. To doubt like Thomas did, there's no criticism because he's a doubter that got his answers and then he walked on it. But when the Word of God's been offered to people and they walk away from it, ladies and gentlemen, that's a sad day for them. Apollos, a golden-tongued orator, a mighty, wonderful man, didn't know enough. So beautiful Aquila and Priscilla, in whose home there was a church, twig leaders, twig coordinators, took him home with them and expounded, declared, opened unto him the way of God more what? Perfectly. They instructed him. And then the great Apollos continued to walk on the greatness of that Word because he too had made his life a total commitment. He had reached the point of no return. Ladies and gentlemen, when you reach that point, that all the bridges are burned, all the aces up your sleeve are gone, everything in the background is gone, you have only one way to go, people, and that's forward. That's forward. And God makes the way when there is no way. My life's dream becomes a reality when I walk on the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word. He lifted me. That's why the way of God, the way of God, the way of God, God's way was taught more perfectly. John 14, remember, Jesus Christ said, I am what? He is the way, the truth, the life. That must then be whose way? God's way. God's way. I would you all spake in tongues must be what? Baptism with Christ in you, the hope of glory, must be God's way. Not water, but the presence of Christ within. A lot better than all the water of all the world. For that's eternal life. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Expounded unto him the word of God, Jesus Christ, the way, the word of God, more perfectly. You see, God is the way, but God is spirit. His son, Jesus Christ, is God's only begotten son, visible. He who has seen me has seen the Father. I always do the Father's will. I and the Father are one, moving forth. That's why God being the way, his son Jesus Christ is the way unto God. There is no other way whereby man must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, the way of God more what? Perfectly. The way of God more perfectly. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why I said the living of life with a capital L, capital I, capital F, capital E is an art. And no one ever reaches that living of life without coming as an art, without coming to God's Word. Because it's God's Word that makes life effervescing, that makes life worth living. Without this Word of God or the hope of Christ's return, life would be one hell of an ordeal. But with God and his word, ladies and gentlemen, we are more than conquerors. He came that we might have life and have it more than what. I can do all things through Christ to what? Therefore, you just stay put on Philippians 4:8 or something. Think these things. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? He instructed or expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And that's part of the ministry of the way today around the world. In our Twig leadership, brand every place, the one great purpose of our commitment, because we've reached the point of no return, is to declare the Word of God more perfectly to men and women who want to hear it. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did. And you don't see the Bible laughing at simple little Aquila and Priscilla. You don't see Paul taking a crack at Aquila and Priscilla. Just the opposite. He thanked God that they even risked their necks for him, that they had a church in their home. And he remembered them with great thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the university you graduated from, but it's the greatness of the love of God in your heart that has taught you the art of living life with a capital L-I-F-E that makes life so dynamically vivacious, so exhilarating, so exciting to live. And you are the men and women unto whom the Word of God has been opened, expounded more perfectly. You just have to make that decision that you are at that point of no what? That's right. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of opening this year of the renewed mind, the key to power, by having our people reach that point of no return, where they're absolutely sold out, committed, dedicated, to risk their necks, to lay down their lives, to move the church in the home, for the integrity and accuracy of the Word of God. And for those men and women hungering and thirsting after righteousness throughout the world, may again the way of God be made known more perfectly unto them through the lives of men and women who know that word. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.